Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. Jesus said, "In my Abba God's house there are many rooms. I am going to prepare a place for you." On this Mother's Day, Jesus presents himself as the ultimate homemaker, and as children in that family, we gather together as siblings to listen, to pray, to worship.
Let us pray. Loving God, you who have given us birth, you who have provided for us a home in creation, you who hold us in your lap and walk with us all our days, as a loving mother tends to her children, so you love and tend us, and we thank you. We praise you, we worship you. May your Spirit guide our worship and your love guide our lives. Amen.
Buddy, Josh here, and thank you so much for sending me all of your Flat Jesus pictures. They're amazing. We're going to have another Flat Jesus picture challenge here at the end of this video, so be sure to be listening for that, and I hope to see some more pictures from you. And also, I really have to thank you all because Flat Jesus has been getting a little stir-crazy being cooped up in the house this whole time. Right, so it's been really good to get him out of the house a little bit, so thank you for helping him with that. I appreciate it. One of the things that we like to do in our house when we're cooped up a long time in the house is to build a fort. I don't know if you all like to build forts. Ours actually can get pretty big. I mean, they're big for us. Maybe you all can do some bigger ones. I don't know. But when they're big forts like this, they can take time. You know, pillows don't like to stand up on their own. You have to move a lot of furniture around. You pull on one side of a blanket and it comes off on the other end, and you try something and it doesn't work, you have to do it again. And I also really want to make it nice and cushy and soft inside, and meanwhile, Josiah's like, I just want to play, Dad, and I'm like, no, it's got to be perfect. You can't go yet. The fort is a lot of fun because you can do a lot of pretend things in it, but also, it's a place where you feel safe. You feel the love that went into making it. You might even feel secure. And so naturally, Josiah invites his friends over. What are the friends we have in our house right now? Well, it's our stuffed animals. He has a friend named Hippo Me. And he also invited Flat Jesus, which I thought was a very nice touch. He also tried to invite Millie, to be honest. And let's be honest, it didn't work out real well. So we're not going to show that one. In today's verse, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Like, I was preparing a place for Josiah to play, a fort for him to be welcomed into, to feel safe and secure, because Jesus also wants to welcome us all into his house, his family. He wants to give us a place to belong, a place to feel safe, because, let's be honest, we all need that, whether we're 5 or 25 or 105, and we might easily forget that when we're all cooped up in our houses, but the fact is that we need a place. We need home. We need community. And now the question is, who does Jesus invite? Well, it says in the passage, in God's house, there are many rooms. It's like a fort or a house that never fills up. You just put more and more and more people. They just keep coming and coming. Jesus keeps inviting and welcoming and welcoming and inviting. And it doesn't matter because there's plenty of room for everybody. And the amazing part is that Jesus prepared a room for every single person. Nobody was an accident. Nobody was forgotten. No matter where you're from, no matter what you look like, no matter what your family is like, no matter who you love, no matter what your abilities are, there is a place for you at the table in the home of God. The church word for this is grace. Another word is hospitality. Hospitality, kind of a big word, but it means welcoming people no matter what, like God welcomes us. We can do that too. What are some ways that we can welcome people, just like God welcomes us? It might be hard right now because we're all stuck in our houses, you might say, but maybe there's some ways we can be welcoming. One way is with signs or flags at our houses and in our churches. We do some of that already, maybe, but maybe we can make some more signs. Or maybe in your windows, your open windows, or in your yard, there's some space to put a reminder up to people. But maybe you can think of some other things. What are some ways that you all can be welcoming, even right now in this crazy time? And that gets us to our Flat Jesus picture challenge for the week. This week, I encourage you all to build forts. Yes, pillow forts in your house. No matter if you're young or old or in between, give it a try. If you haven't done it in years, it's a lot of fun, trust me. So take a picture of you and Flat Jesus in or near your fort, and maybe also make a welcome sign, like this one, to let everybody know that they're welcome. Because as people of God, as followers of Jesus, we welcome just as God has welcomed us. So So, and also, if you don't want to do the port thing, just do the sign thing. Take your picture either way with Flat Jesus, and then send that to me via email, and I'd love to see them. You all are amazing people. Stay safe, take care of each other. We will see each other again soon.
And watch them as they
Psalm 131. O God, my mind is not on lofty things. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like a weaned child, satisfied and resting. O people, hope in the Holy One, from this time on and forevermore. The Word of Life. Thanks be to God.
On the night before Jesus was killed, he had a Passover meal with his disciples, and he talked with them. He wanted to prepare them to go on without him. So listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Put your heart in God. Put your heart also in me. In my heavenly mother's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said, "Teacher, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Heavenly Mother but through me. If you have seen me, you've seen God. And now you know her and you have seen her." Philip said, "Teacher, show us the mother and we will be satisfied." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you this long and you still don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the mother. How can you say, show us the mother? Do you not believe that I am in the mother and the mother is..." "You can trust that I am in the mother and the mother is in me. But if that's hard for you, trust because of the works themselves. And listen, I'm telling you this. Those who put their heart in me will do the works that I do, and in fact do greater works than these, because I am going to the Mother." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. How does it feel to hear that language about God the Mother? We're so accustomed to language of God the Father, it can be a little confusing or disconcerting. Maybe it's refreshing, maybe it's not. For some people, it might even feel wrong or blasphemous. But God is infinite. Infinite. And all of our language and images of God come from these little tiny bits of human experience. And they're so small that all of them are awkward and inappropriate and even to some degree wrong. So when we hear this language of God as Mother, it upsets our expectation that we're going to hear God the Father. And that's a good thing. Because you see, God is always coming to us in ways that we don't expect. God is infinite, so God exceeds all of our expectations and categories and assumptions and beliefs. God is beyond all of that. And when we hear this language, it wakes us up to that. Now, I'm going to drop three little theological bombshells for you this morning. And here's the first one. This is actually orthodox. This is actually old-fashioned truth. God is queer. Well, that's true. Both in the sense that God is odd. God is strange. God is a mystery. God doesn't fit our expectations. And also, in the contemporary use, God
is gender non-conforming. We have this expectation. We've always thought about God as a father, as a male adult parent. Well, there's a whole huge, broad rainbow of human experiences include being a female adult parent, being a mother. And when we think of God as male, that reveals something to us of God, but so does being female. In fact, so does the whole breadth of human experience, the whole rainbow. Each little slice of it reveals something to us of God. So we could say, in some ways, God is masculine, or God is feminine, or God is neutral, or neuter, or neither, or bi, or trans. God is gender non-conforming. God doesn't have X or Y chromosomes. God is not limited to our expression of gender or sexuality or identity or expression. God is beyond all that. God is queer. And when we hear this language, it reminds us that God shatters our expectations, and God is revealed to us in everybody, in the whole rainbow of human beings. Of course, our language comes to us from our experience. So if we just think about our experience, if I think of my experience of mothers and fathers, it seems quite clear to me that God is much more like a mother than a father. I'm an old fogey, right? I was born way back in the 1900s, grew up in the 50s and 60s. And some of those patterns then are changing, and I'm so glad to see that. But in the old pattern, and still to some degree this is true, but definitely for me, growing up in the 50s, my dad was nowhere to be seen. He worked 90 hours a week. That's actually documented. He was gone. The one who was there was Mom. God is the one who is present with us and for us. It was Mom who fed us and clothed us, cooked for us, set the table. It was Mom that we went and ran to when we skinned our knee and wanted to be comforted. In my mother's house, there were many rooms, and my mom cleaned every one of them. Now that's changing. But that's still so much a part of our experience, that it's mothers who are there for their children. In 40 years of ministry, I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of different families, and over again, for those children, especially the ones who might have special needs or need extra care, ones who don't fit into the school system or social constructs or who have medical challenges, it's the mom who's advocating for that kid, who's at the school week after week after week, who's driving the kid to the doctor, who's managing all that stuff. It's the mom who is the real shepherd of her children. In fact, last week, we talked about Jesus, the good shepherd. We're accustomed to shepherds being adult males. In the Middle East, back then, and still to some degree these days, shepherding is done by women and children. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," people are more likely to think of a girl than a man. In our human experience, God actually is more like mothers than fathers. In fact, here is another really powerful image for me of God, my second little theological bombshell. They're getting easier. God is a single mom. I mean, really, right? She has no spouse to whom she can say, "Honey, I'm tired. Can you take the kids?" Mom is the one who's always there. A single mother is there 24/7, the only one, always on, always there. On this Mother's Day, I have immense regard for single moms, even the bad ones, because they're doing something that is holy and sacred and divine. God is the single mom who single-handedly cares for us and raises us and ushers us into the world. Now, all these things I've said about mothers could equally be said about fathers, except for this one. Jesus says, "You must be born again." Now, how do you get born except from a mother? Here's my third little theological bombshell. God is a pregnant mother. How else could you make sense of these words that Jesus says after he describes himself as a homemaker going to prepare a place for you? Then he starts in on this strange language of saying, I am in the mother and the mother is in me, kind of like a child in its mother's womb. The mom is in that kid and the kid is literally inside the mom. Because that's where we live. Remember, God is infinite. So it's not like there's the world and God is a part of it. No, God is everything, and the world is a little tiny part of God inside God. We are in God's womb. God is the one who labors so that we can be born. God is the one who endures pain in order to birth us into a new life. God is the one who pushes us out into the world so that we can be whole, independent human beings. You know that stories in the Bible, like the Exodus story, those are birthing stories. There are these 10 huge contractions of these plagues until finally the time is ready and the Red Sea is dilated enough for the child to be born, and God pushes the children of Israel out through the birth canal. The waters break and they're pushed out through the Red Sea into the new world, and they begin their wandering through the wilderness as newborn children. That is the God who births us into life. And the irony is that we are born again and we come blinking out into the world, and gradually we get used to it and we start to learn stuff and we know how to manage and we have some assumptions and some categories and some stereotypes, and pretty soon they need to be broken and we have to be born again. And we have to leave behind the womb of all of those old assumptions like God is a father and get born into a new world that shatters all our expectations, and we start all over again. And we discover that we're still in the womb of God, and we have to be born again and again and again from our heavenly mother. God is the mother who shatters all our expectations. God is the mother who is faithfully present for us. God is the mother who contains us and births us. How better to think of those words of Jesus than a nursing mother who can truly say to her child, take and eat and drink. This is my body given for you. On this day, I give thanks for queer mothers, for single mothers, for pregnant mothers, for our heavenly mother. On this day, I pray thanks, Mom. God, we thank you for your motherly love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. The God who is in us prays in us and helps us to pray with one another, for all the world.
I'm talking. It is? Oh, hey. So we have sound after all. God is good. On this day, I light these candles for all mothers that we might honor our mothers. I light these candles in particular in remembrance of the original Mother's Day, which was a peace action in hopes that mothers around the world would raise their children who would not be sent off to war to kill other mothers' children. I pray for all mothers who watch over their children worried because of racism, poverty, war, and violence. I pray especially for Ahmaud Arbery, his mother, who weeps for him now, shot down on the street because he was black. For all such mothers, I offer my prayer. I also, in particular, remember today Betsy Steve Carroll, her husband Keith, her daughter Lily, and his mom, Lillian? Millie. Keith was recently diagnosed with very aggressive cancer. So we pray that God will surround that family with blessings and healing. Also for Marilyn Roman's son, Scott, who was laid off a few months ago and is still looking for work and finding it even harder now. Prayers for Scott and for his family. God, we lift up these and all those prayers that are in our hearts, trusting in your grace. God, we give you thanks and we ask your blessing. Amen.
We pray for those on our prayer calendar this week: Mark, Andre, and Carly Weber, Ginger Weeks, and Dot Worst. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. We pray for those affected by the coronavirus, for those who are sick, for those who have lost loved ones, for caregivers and medical workers, for those who have lost jobs, and for those who risk in order to work. May your grace sustain them. This is my prayer. We pray for healing around the world, for the healing of the virus, and the healing of our fear, despair, and selfishness. May we truly be one family united by your love. This is my prayer. Amen.
Hi, I'd like to offer a prayer of transition and invite all of you to pray during these next weeks for Steve and Beth, for Janu, Haywan, and Joshua as they make these changes. Let us pray. Loving God, we hold Steve and Beth in prayer. Allow them to breathe through this period of packing, goodbyes, wrapping up. They are beloved to us and to you. Help us to also welcome Janu, Haywan, and Joshua, as they too work with boxes and goodbyes. Shine your love through us to welcome them to our St. Matthew's community. Wrap all of us at St. Matthew's in your comforting arms, as we feel both loss and anticipation of things to come. In your name, amen.
As we pray for our daily bread, as Jesus taught us, provided for us by our heavenly homemaker, I'm going to pray to our mother in heaven. I invite you to pray in whatever way draws you nearest to God, asking God always to teach us to pray. Our mother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus says, I am in God, and God is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. This mutual indwelling gives us deep peace, the peace of Christ that we're given to share with all the world, beginning with each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Share a sign of peace with any that you might be with. And if you're alone, imagine the peace of Christ flowing out from you into all the world and all creation with joy returning to you. The peace of Christ.
Happy Mother's Day! From Josie Tyler Joyman's here, wishing you the peace of Christ on this Mother's Day.
May the peace of God be with you and blossom and grow throughout our world.
Hagar Sisters is the second organization that we're supporting with our Easter offering this year. Motivated by God's loving kindness, the mission of Hagar Sisters is to cultivate the emotional and spiritual healing of individuals and families impacted by intimate partner abuse through education, empowerment, and a compassionate community. In 2019, Hagar Sisters provided almost 1,200 services to its sisters. As an advocate at Hagar Sisters, I have been deeply blessed to influence a woman's thinking by telling her, "You are God's beloved. And as God's beloved, you are not meant to suffer." There is great power in those words if you have been taught that submitting to a partner who has power and control over you is God's will. In fact, 1 in 3 women experience abuse in intimate relationships, and abuse crosses all boundaries, including religious ones. Please support Hagar Sisters' mission by being generous with your giving. Thank you.
Hi, me again. John Bennett, Chair of St. Matthew's Staff Parish Relations Committee. You've heard prayers and service these past few weeks for our transition to say goodbye to Steve and hello to Janu. We've been truly blessed by Steve's service too and his care for us these past 9 years. As pastor and counselor, as mentor and teacher, he has helped us in so many ways. I don't think we can simply let him ride off into the sunset, do you? In that spirit, I invite you to join me in making a special thank you gift to Steve as he moves into retirement, well, at least retirement as an active pastor, and moves into the next stage of his life journey. Please join me in making a financial gift to Steve. The easiest and best way is to make an electronic payment through our church website or through Breeze. Alternatively, you can still mail a check to the church office. Please designate the gift to staff gift. You can mark it that way online or write it into the memo field of your check. June 14th will be Steve's last service with us, so we'll be collecting for this gift through Sunday, June 7th. If you're mailing a check, please mail it by the end of May so we have it in time. Thank you and bless you.
Thank you for being with us on this day. Thank you for your prayers for all the mothers of the world. Put this on your calendar. On Tuesday the 26th, we're going to have a special church council meeting that will actually be a charge conference so that we can officially make a decision to accept the $31,000 loan/grant that we got through the small business bailout thing that the government is doing. But we need to. So if you want to be a part of that, watch in the newsletter and there will be information on how to be a part of that meeting Tuesday night, the 26th. The 19th. Thank you. I'm getting corrected as I go. Thank God for technology, even when it doesn't work. And also, I invite you to join us for a coffee hour. We'll start up about 10 minutes or so. There's a link in the church website where you probably found this. So I'll see you there. And is there anything else? Oh, if there's a password, it is coffee hour, all one word, lowercase letters. God bless. Thank you for being with us. Go in peace. Thank you.
Thank you.